Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and start with the scripture reading. So Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When I was preparing today's sermon, I chose that scripture because I feel like the message that our children are given because of your support is a message that they've never heard before. Many of our children, because of the trauma that they've experienced, come to live at Crossroad never having had a relationship with God. And if they have had a relationship, sometimes that has been abused and they have been told that they are unworthy of that relationship. And so for me, this scripture is so powerful because it communicates what can happen when children are given the opportunity to heal from trauma and know God in a very personal way. I am so excited to be here with you this morning for a number of reasons. Number one, this is actually my first time being back in a church since COVID started, so thank you for having me this morning. I've been talking to a lot of computer screens, but it's really nice to see you face to face, and I am very humble that you invited us to come. I know that many of you know my colleague Kyle Zanker very well, and I wanted to pass along her greetings and her hello. She was unable to be with us this morning just because of a conflict in scheduling, but she sends her love. One of the things that you may or may not be aware of is that St. John's has supported Crossroad generously since the beginning. And a lot of times I think that you may hear that and you may not really understand what the impact of your generosity is. And so I'd like to take some time this morning and tell you a few stories from our campus of transformation that you have allowed to have happen because you've chosen to support us in a number of ways throughout the years. So during my first couple of weeks at Crossroad, I actually took a walk on campus in the morning. I was headed over to another building on campus, and I was really struck by the history of that space. So Crossroad has been on that land since we began and since we opened our doors in 1883. Now, our land has changed a little bit. We've sold a little bit over time. We don't have the vastness that we used to have, but the property that we're on now is the property that we've always been on. And I was really struck by the history of that and the weight of everything that has happened at Crossroad. All of the families that have been transformed, all of the healing that has taken place, and all of the people that have come before the staff that works there now who have dedicated their lives to helping children. And you're a part of that because all of the people that have supported us throughout the years have allowed those healing moments to happen. So since 1883, tens of thousands of children have walked through the doors at Crossroad, uncertain of what lie ahead for them. So I think we can all kind of put ourselves in their shoes for a moment and think about what it would feel like to be a child under the age of 18, walking in to an organization that you most likely have never visited before, and knowing that you are going to be living there for quite some time, and what that would feel like. You would be pretty unsure of what you were getting into, unsure of whether or not they were going to be kind to you, unsure of what was going to be expected of you, and you're learning those things as the days unfold of you living there. And one of the things that we want to impart to our children is that certainty of the relationship with God. And sometimes that can be complicated because of the histories that our children have. But one of our paramount missions at Crossroad is to allow children to build promising futures. And a pillar of that is a healthy relationship with God. It's likely that in every message you receive from Crossroad, you are thanked for your generosity, and that's not a mistake. I think many times over, our staff want to bring that message to you because we want you to know that you are a part of transforming hundreds of families in our region. Crossroad partners with the Department of Children's Services, and we actually serve children from Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois, and Michigan. And so it's not just in Fort Wayne locally that we serve, we have a lot of kids from different states as well. As our culture becomes more and more aware of the effects of trauma, you may have heard a word or phrase called trauma-informed care. And really all that means is that we ask the question, what has happened to this child versus what's wrong with this child? And I think if we sit with that question, we can see how different those two questions are. Just by changing a couple words in that sentence, the entire feeling of that question changes from punitive to compassionate. So we're not looking to blame the child. We're not looking to make them feel ashamed. We are asking questions that help uncover trauma so that our kids can heal and envision bright futures. My guess is, when you hear that question, it's not difficult for you to understand why asking it in that way helps our children feel supported and helps them open up. One of the things that we have noticed is that because of the trauma that our children have experienced, they come to Crossroad with a belief that they are worthless, or that they are disposable or unworthy. Oftentimes, children raised in unhealthy or dysfunctional family systems do not understand the reference to a Heavenly Father. In fact, when our chaplain uses words like Heavenly Father, some of our children will bristle immediately because the word father does not communicate love. It does not communicate safety. And there's a lot of trauma there to unpack. And so our chaplain is very patient with our kids. We change the words that we use when we are in chapel so that they can identify ways that they can connect with God that feels safe to them. Because if you've never had an example of unconditional love in a parent, using that reference is not going to feel good to the child. While some of our children we serve do have a personal relationship with God when they come through our doors, many feel separated from God. And so the scripture that we talked about this morning and that we're kind of talking about as we go through this morning is so important because we try to remind our kids on a daily basis that nothing can separate them. No trauma they've experienced, no message that they've heard over and over and over again about their unworthiness, none of that can separate them from God. I know that it can be difficult for you to see yourselves in our children's stories because likely you may never meet them face to face. You know, our programs have changed a lot over the years, and I'll kind of talk about that in a moment. But the program that we have right now on campus, our residential programs, are very secure programs, which means that a lot of times our visitors are not allowed to interact with our children. And that's actually because a lot of our children are placed with us and not many people know where they are for their safety. And so we have to keep their identities private. And so because of that, I think it can be hard for supporters like you, churches that have been praying for us for years, churches that have given generously for years, to hear the stories of our kids and see yourselves in those stories. And what I want to encourage you today to remember is that you are the reason why families have access to transformative care. You are the reason that our children can envision promising futures. Each prayer, every investment that you make in our campus provides life-changing therapy that provides freedom from that pain of the trauma they've experienced. When Crossroad first opened our doors, we provided a safe and loving home for children whose parents were unable to care for them. Many of those children came to us during the Great Depression because their families were unable to financially provide for the children and their families. So we served families that may have been very loving, but they just weren't able to care for their children. We also served families whose children were not safe in their home for whatever reason, whether that be from abuse, neglect, addiction issues on the behalf of the parent. And we were what used to be called a traditional orphanage. So a lot of our churches, and you may be similar to this, have individuals in the church who were adopted from Crossroad, or maybe they adopted their children from Crossroad. Today, we serve children with acute emotional and mental health needs. Our goal is to constantly respond to the needs in our communities. So when the Department of Children's Services comes to us and says, we are seeing a need for this kind of treatment, can you please research and see if you can provide that for us? We respond to those needs. So as you can imagine, in 138 years, our programs have changed quite a bit based on what society requires. I say today because any given day, we are researching and launching new programs. The types of children that we serve are children who are as young as 6 years old and who have complicated and challenging diagnoses. More than 50% of the children in our residential and alternative education programs are diagnosed with a disability. On any given day, we serve approximately 260 children, and within the year 2021, we believe we will serve over 500 children. Led by our board of directors, we make strategic decisions to ensure that we are able to treat children with dual diagnoses, children that many other treatment facilities will not place. Our faith-based foundation promotes compassion and motivates us to invite children who are considered hard to treat. Our families across churches have been incredibly supportive of these programmatic decisions throughout the years, and we could not be more grateful. You can imagine that as a faith-based organization, we feel a call to provide a space for children who need it. And we can't imagine being asked to provide a program and knowing that if we don't answer that call, a child will go without help. Obviously, we make those plans based on what we feel like we can honestly do for the children, but we don't want children to go without services. One of the things that I always find interesting to talk to our churches about is that Crossroad is typically viewed still to this day as a residential-only program. So a lot of people, when they think of Crossroad, they think of a children's home, which we absolutely have children living on campus. But what they may not realize is that we have grown our services exponentially to also serve community-based families, which means that we come to the aid of families that live in our communities, but they don't have children placed at our home. So we actually go to them. Our community-based program staff meet with families at least twice a week and sometimes more if needed. Our goal is to support that family in a tangible and concrete way to provide stability and hope. Every family we serve is unique. So as you can imagine, one size does not fit all. So some of our community services individuals will be providing family therapy. So maybe there is something happening in the family and they feel like sitting down once a week and talking through those issues is going to help that family. It can also be as simple as saying, you know, you guys are so busy and one of the things contributing to the disagreements in the family or contributing to the discord in the family is that you're not spending quality time together. So why don't I come over once a week and I'll bring a new board game and we'll just have a game night with each other to try to encourage that positive communication and build those relationships back to a healthy way. That can also look like assistance with tangible goods. So we have families that may need extra blankets during the winter, families that may need help paying utility bills, families that may need toys for Christmas. One of the most special things is watching the way that our supporters rally around our kids during the holidays. And St. John's is no different, and we definitely appreciate that. I was so humbled when I first started my position at Crossroad to see that we have kept a number of newsletters from the start of the organization. I think the earliest one we have is around 1902, I believe. So we didn't have the very original ones, but we have a binder with a lot of newsletters. And seeing the way that churches and individuals have blessed our kids from the very beginning was amazing. One of the stories that I love to tell is, number one, looking at the Christmas issues, because seeing the way that the dining hall was decorated and the way that the kids were so excited about their presents, none of that has really changed. The decorations look a little bit different now, but our kids still get very excited for Christmas. And another thing was that, you know, we were humbly asking for 25 cents a year at that point. And I remember reading it and thinking, oh my gosh, like the way that they're wording this, they said, you know, if you can please pray about it and see if your family can afford 25 cents a year. And I thought, times have really changed since then. But one of the times of year around Christmas is that we also provide for our community service families as well. So we want them to be able to have gifts. We want those kids to be able to give their parents gifts, because there's something transformative about enabling a child or empowering a child to give something to their parents and give something to their family. And so that is a large part of what we do during the winter months as well with our community service children and families. Another thing that we try to remember with all of our kids, whether they're on campus with us or they're living in the community with their families, is to remember that success is going to look different for each child and family. So we may all come from family systems where success looks like what our society says. Maybe some of us have had the opportunity to go to college. Maybe some of us have had the opportunity to have successful careers. And we hope for our children that if that's what they want, that they're able to achieve those goals. We do have scholarship programs for our kids who are of college age to attend college. But we also understand that success is going to be defined by that child and that family and their therapist and working with them. And we want to enable them to think about and dream about a promising future and what that looks like to them. So many of our kids are involved with Crossroad for a number of years, whether that be in residential treatment or in the community service program. And our average length of stay is around 1 year. I want to be really clear this morning about the fact that there are many organizations doing transformative work with families and children in our communities. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Crossroad is one of many, and we are so humbled to be a part of that group. We know from our outcomes that are measured on a state level that your support and what our therapists and our direct care staff members are doing for our children is impacting lives for the better. There is no doubt. The statistics speak for themselves. You may know that trauma in childhood is a high indicator of trauma in adulthood. So if a child has extensive trauma before the age of 5, if they don't experience an intervention, if they don't have a therapist that cares about them, if they don't have a case manager that's helping them route a way to success, it is likely that they will repeat that trauma in their adulthood. And that can manifest itself in a number of ways. I think some of the ways we immediately think of is that as an adult, they may have addiction issues. As an adult, they may have struggle with homelessness. And all of those things are true. But some things we don't think about is that individuals who've experienced extreme trauma, if they don't receive treatment, oftentimes they have a much higher rate of physical illness in their life. So it may not show up in what we would consider to be a trauma result, but it is, because they've been holding that trauma in their body for such a long time that it can contribute to poor physical health as well. And so we understand that your support is directly changing that cycle. It's directly giving a child a chance to envision a completely different future for themselves than they would ever be able to envision otherwise. So I'm excited to share with you that in the midst of last year, even though last year I think we can all agree was an incredibly challenging year for a number of reasons, Crossroad was able to open a new 15-bed residential unit as well as a new welcome and treatment center. Now, I know that 15 beds may not sound like that much, especially because we know that services are needed all of the time. But our 15-bed unit is actually a flexible unit that can be used for open care or private secure care. And right now, we are using it for private secure care, which means that the children living in that program have a high acuity of needs and that your donations are helping to make sure that they are safe and that others are safe from them as well. Our Welcome and Treatment Center allows accessibility for all of our residential children as well as our outpatient services staff and their therapy customers. It also just houses our support staff offices as well. So if you're ever in town and you'd like to come for a visit, this is an open invitation for you to please come visit us. I'd love to show you around. Because you've chosen to partner with Crossroad, children's lives have been changed in beautiful ways. But I want to be honest with you that the needs in our communities are not decreasing. In fact, the opioid crisis has left a staggering increase in the number of children experiencing abuse, neglect, and child trafficking. Very simply put, the treatment provided at Crossroad is imperative and necessary. I had the opportunity to spend the afternoon recently in chapel with our chaplain, Pastor Christina. And Pastor Christina uses a curriculum called Godly Play. So within Godly Play, children are given the opportunity to interact with Bible stories in ways that are meaningful to them. And each Bible story has a box of characters and, I would say, props that the children are able to use and play with to interact with the Bible stories in a way that makes sense to them. And so all of those Godly Play boxes are kept in shelves. And as Pastor Christina is working her way through the sermon that week, they will be able to take the boxes down and play with those and interact with those. So on this particular day, there was a young man who was having a little bit of trouble. He just was having a not good day. And he actually decided with his staff member to leave chapel a little early that day because he just needed some time. And at the end of the service, as the kids were leaving, I was helping Pastor Christina clean up, and this young man came back into the room with his staff member, and Pastor Christina bent down because he was quite small and she wanted to get on his level, and he apologized to her in a really quiet voice and just said, "I'm really sorry that I knocked those boxes off of the shelf." And she said, "I forgive you. Do you know what I'm going to say next?" And he thought for a little bit, and he said, "You're going to say that God loves me and you love me." And she said, "Yeah." And as you can tell, I get choked up every single time I think about that moment, because for me, I feel like that's what your support is doing. Your support is giving children the opportunity to know that God loves them, a message that they may never have had the opportunity to learn if it weren't for your support and the staff at Crossroad. So because of you, family systems are being healed. And that doesn't just stop at our physical campus in Fort Wayne. It doesn't stop on our physical lives here on Earth. That extends far beyond. Your choice to give is changing communities, and in turn, it's changing the world. Thank you so much for having me here today.
We have been blessed in so many ways. It's time for us to give a little bit of that back to the Lord's work. I invite the ushers to come forward at this time. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, bless these gifts that they may help the needy, save the lost, and bring glory to your name alone. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 339, Since I Have Been Redeemed. After the spoken benediction, we'll conclude with the benediction in song number 610, Go Now and Live for the Savior.
Lord.